Well, peace, friends. My name's Tom. I'm the pastor here, I look out at the world today and I ask, what is going on out there? Now, I'm not talking about the snow. I'm talking about, like, when you look at the headlines. I was looking at the headlines in the newspaper yesterday or online, and here are some of the top news stories on Saturday. Bloody week in Syria condemned. Israeli F-16 jet crashes after Syrian fire. Police find 6 bodies potted in potted plants. House of Cards actor dies. Coach abused me and took nude photos, former swimmer says. Las Vegas shooter had anti-anxiety medicine in his system, autopsy shows. Yikes! Our economics, our environment, our politics, our poverty, our health, education, our jobs, they all seem to be going quick to hell in a handbasket. Now, I talked about hell last week. We're in this series, Afterlife. Today, we're going to set our sights a little bit higher. Next week, we're going to ask the question, what happens when I die? Do you all notice the coffin out there in the cafe? We've been hosting this play for the last 2 weeks, and we've had like hundreds of people here. And the biggest question I get is, why is there a coffin here? And then they see the kids sign next to it, and they think like it's somehow connected to the children's ministry. I'm like, no, that's not what it's about. It's for you to climb into and take a selfie and do a coffin experience, okay? I know, the idea was better when we were brainstorming. It was really funny when we were talking about it around the table. I took a selfie in there, it reminds us of our mortality. And that's something I have to do from time to time. The series reminds us that you're going to die someday. And next week, we're going to look at what happens when I die. We're going to wrap it up on the fourth week, the last week of the series, asking the question, well, who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, and who decides and how does that work? Last week, we talked about hell. Today is heaven. You came on the heaven day, all right? That's why I'm wearing my white shirt today, okay? I had my red shirt on last week. Today is heaven. I'm wearing my white shirt. Work with me, okay? I know you're all frozen. But bring some enthusiasm with me here today. Surely heaven is an escape from all of those news stories, right? Surely that's what heaven is all about. It's an escape from everything that is messed up in this world. In fact, I think that's what most of us think about when we think about heaven. Paul, I've lost control here. Would you give that back to me? We think that heaven started out with creation and then fall. And then we escape from that all, everything that's messed up. Which reminds me of the escape rooms. How many of you have been to one of those escape rooms? Not many, just a couple. Did you get out? Did you get out? Man, you guys are good. So escape room, this basic idea is that you get locked in a room for 60 minutes and you have to find the clues to get you out of the room. Just to give you a feel for an escape room, here's the cast from Big Bang Theory escaping.
You're about to enter the lab of the late Dr. David Salzberg. While conducting studies on slowing the aging process, there was a catastrophic accident, and he died. Or did he?
Ladies?
Are you being polite or scared?
Yep. This is cool.
So how do we start? We have to look for the clues hidden around the room.
Wasn't this supposed to be a zombie?
Okay, let's hope one of the clues is written on a pair of clean underwear.
Keep it down, we're working here.
Okay, we've got the cipher decoded.
How's it going with the globe? We use the coordinates to locate the cities.
I'm putting the city names in the grid now. I'm sure that'll give us the code to the safe.
Solve puzzle too fast! Slow down!
Yep, let's go!
Just saying! No reason for a finish early!
Which book are we looking for?
Origin of Species.
Here it is. There's a black light.
Oh, hang on!
Okay, brothers and sisters, I have none, but this man's father is my father's son. Who am I looking at? Yeah, we get it. You want brains. Calm down.
Well, if
I don't have a brother, my father's son is me, and if I'm this man's father, then he's my son. The answer's son.
Oh, there's a picture of the son over there.
I bet the key's behind it.
Could be somewhere else!
Oh, got the key!
So that's the key to the door? That's it?
Spent $200 on 6 minutes of fun?
It's like when we bought that remote-controlled helicopter, and it just flew away.
Sorry, guys. Really thought the puzzles would be better.
Well, to be fair, we do all have advanced degrees.
Remember that before you post on Yelp!
Did you guys take 6 minutes, Bill? 55. How about you, Chris? About the same. Well, we did it, and you see, we were so close. We didn't get out, okay? We were stuck here in hell, and we didn't escape to heaven. Now, this idea of escape is something that you hear a lot in the church when it comes to heaven, and we sing about it as well. There's a famous song, you probably recognize it. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. We're going to escape from this earth. We're going to escape from this body. We're going to escape from all those headlines and fly away someday to God's, the celestial city in the heavens. That's what heaven is about, right? That's what we think about it, at least. But here's what I want you to know. What I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to blow your mind. Heaven is not an escape from a locked room. Heaven is not an escape from the earth. Our bodies are not something we escape from into heaven. You see, most of us maybe think about heaven in this way, that it starts with creation, fall, and escape. But the way the Bible tells the story, it's creation, fall, and redemption, not escape. Now, there's some things that people say at funerals, and they mean well, but they might not be true. One of them is heaven is for real. Maybe that's not true. One is that your great aunt is meeting Jesus at the pearly gates. Well, maybe that's not true either. And the other is that your grandma is looking down at you from heaven. Maybe that's not true either. One of the other things that you hear a lot is all dogs go to heaven. By the end of this message, I'm going to make you question the first three. I'm going to leave the last one alone because I want a job at the end of the day, okay? But you may notice no one ever says all cats go to heaven. Now I just lost my job. All right, so what we're going to talk about today is what theologians refer to. They use a really big word. They call it eschatology. And let's unpack that. The word eschatology is made up of two parts. Eschatos, which means end, and logi, which means study. So eschatology is the study of end things or end times or in this case that we're going to talk about it today, the redemption at the end of the biblical plot. So I told you the biblical plot was creation, fall, and redemption. So I'm going to walk you through each one of these here. Let's start with creation, because if we're going to know where the end is, we got to start with what was the purpose at the beginning. What was God's purpose for humanity? When we read in Genesis, we read that God says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Now, that's one of the commands. It doesn't take a lot of hard work for me to get excited about, okay? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish, the birds, the animals. Governing and reigning over the earth. That was why God created humanity. It's the ordinary stuff of being human that was our purpose. Now, sometimes we think that somehow, we get this mixed up, we think that our purpose is worship. And in our mind, it's like some sort of precious moments image where we are little fat babies in heaven sitting on clouds, and we're playing our harps and we're singing for eternity. And that might be heaven for Jeremy, but to me that sounds kind of like a hell, because I can't sing. And I don't, even if I could, I'm not sure I want to do it for eternity. But the good news is that that's not what God's purpose was for humanity. God's purpose for us in humanity was to live in these bodies, to govern the earth, to reign over it, to do the things that make up what we would normally call human things. St. Irenaeus in the 2nd century put it this way. He said, the glory of God is a human fully alive. When you go to a job that you love doing and you're good at, and you work a normal day, that's the glory of God. When you get out in your garden and you plant vegetables and you pick the fruit from the trees, that's the glory of God. When you go out on a date night with your spouse, that's the glory of God. Like, that's you being fully alive, being fully human. That's the glory of God. Humanity's purpose in creation was ordinary human things: working, governing, bearing fruit, being fruitful, multiplying. But that's not where the story ends, right? Like, that's just like the first couple chapters of Genesis. Then you got another couple thousand pages, right? So we come to the fall. And you all know the story of the fall. Adam and Eve are put in the garden, and they're told, don't eat this one fruit. And they eat it. And we play this same story out every single day. This past week, you were probably in your driveway shoveling this morning, right? This past week, we've done a lot of shoveling in our driveways. And my youngest son, Sam, he goes down to the end of the driveway, and I look out, and I see him, and there he is. He's in the street shoveling. And you know, I'm thinking as a parent, like, okay, so people driving down the street, they don't have nearly the same control they do. I'm like, get out of the street, Samuel Lewis Arthur. Using my best preacher voice. And he tells me, I'm not in the street. And I'm like, you are in the street. You can't see it because it's snow. So he steps up onto the curb. And he says, I'm not in the street now. I said, you get away from that street. There's the sidewalk. You get on this side of the sidewalk. So what does he proceed to do? You know this story, right? He gets as close to the line that I have drawn, and he's like, you know, his heels are touching the line, but his feet are past the line, you know? And he's contending with me that he is following my rule and not crossing this boundary that I have set up. And I get down on my knees and then look him eye to eye, and I say, you are testing your father. You stop it. He stayed away from it at that point. But that's what Adam and Eve did, right? And they tested that boundary, and they crossed over that boundary. It's a boundary transgression that happens. Sin enters into the world. Humans rebel against God. They turn against each other. Work becomes toil. Hierarchy enters into the picture. When you read the very beginning of Genesis, you see that man and humans are equal. Man and woman are equal. But after sin enters, there's a hierarchy that kicks in. There's all kinds of violence. There's polygamy and bigamy, and all of that enters after the fall. The reign of humans on earth goes horribly wrong. And so you would think then that heaven is an escape from that. But that's not how the biblical story goes. It's not an escape. It's a redemption of it. Not an escape from that plot and an escape into heaven, but a redemption of the plot. A redemption of creation. So here's the whole point of today's message, all right? This is what I'm going to be driving at all morning long. Heaven isn't a place up there. It's a place down here. Now, I'm just blowing your mind right now, right? Because all of our conceptions are heaven is something that we escape to. And I blew your mind last week with hell. And today I'm going to blow your mind with heaven. So stick with me, and I think you'll see what I mean by the end of the message today. Here's how Paul, the first missionary of the church, tells it in his letter that he wrote to the Colossians. He says, through God, through Christ, God reconciled everything. Okay, maybe cats are in heaven too, okay? All dogs go to heaven. I guess everything includes cats. He made peace with everything in heaven and where? On earth, by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So what happens in this at this cross in Jesus, it's not just for humanity, it's for all of creation. God is definitely interested in us as human beings, but God is interested in all of creation. This redemption leads to us then being co-redeemers. We then begin the process of helping or being part of God's redemption of this earth. This redemption has begun, it's already, but it's also not yet fully here. It begins in the incarnation. It begins in Christ. We begin to be fully human, and it's already here. The incarnation began with the redemption, but it continues with the church. You see, there's a battle going on here on earth between heaven and hell. And the battle runs through each one of our hearts. Are we going to live this moment in a hellish way, or are we going to live this moment in a heavenly way? One of the most beautiful images of heaven comes in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in chapter 21. I want you to pay really close attention as we read this to where is heaven at in this story, in this chapter. This is the one, like, when you want to look at, like, what is, how is heaven described in the Bible? This is the chapter. It's one of the most beautiful chapters in all of the Bible, chapter 21. We'll start with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a what? A new earth. New heaven and new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. Now, you have to understand something about ancient cosmology. Like, how did they understand the cosmos and the earth? And the best way I think of describing it is it was like a snow globe, except that the water's on the outside. And so the heavens, when the Bible talks about the firmament, it's like the glass on the globe that's holding the waters at bay. And then inside the globe is where we live. That's where earth is at. And so when the windows of heaven open up, that's what causes rain. You open up the windows, and then the water from the outside goes in. And when God, you know, when Genesis talks about a flood, it's like God opens the windows, and then tons of water come in and floods the earth. And so Revelation 21 starts with this. There's a new globe that's created. It's not a scape, but it's something redeemed. It's something new. And the sea was also gone, and I saw the holy city. There's a city in heaven. The city hasn't disappeared. We're not living on clouds. It's this new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. So, you know, the window of the firmament opens up, and this city descends into this globe. The author of Revelation continues. He says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. It's not that people's home now goes up to God's place, but God now dwells among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. With them. It turns out that Belinda Carlisle was right. You've just been waiting for that reference, this whole message, right? You were waiting for it. You were waiting for it. The band is singing that at the pub tomorrow night, so you can come there to hear the whole thing. But this beautiful passage here, the next verse, describes them. What's that going to look like? What's the new snow globe? What's the new earth going to look like? It's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. All those headlines that I started out with, those are gone because the earth has been remade. It has become heaven. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Maybe that means your dogs and your cats too. So let's remember the point. Heaven isn't a place up there. It's a place down here. A place down, a place that is already here, but not yet fully here. Redemption is a new reign on earth without suffering, without sadness, without injustice, without poverty. And maybe this is why Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Not that we would make, you think about the Lord's Prayer. That prayer is not about us getting into heaven. It's about heaven getting into us, coming alongside of us. There's a book that I've found helpful thinking through this. It's called A New Heaven and a New Earth by J. Richard Middleton. I didn't put it in the bookstore because it's kind of a wonky book. Like, it's sort of one of those academic books, and it takes a unique personality that wants to, like, read through it. So if you want to read through it, you can go look for it on Amazon or wherever you get your books at. But J. Richard Middleton says this. He says, "What we desire and anticipate as the culmination of salvation is what truly affects how we attempt to live in the present. Ethics is lived eschatology." So here's, let me unpack that for you. He's saying, what you think that heaven looks like at the end determines how you live right now. The end determines the direction of action. If you want to get to the UP and you're driving on 75, which way have you got to go? North. But nobody wants to go north right now. So you want to get to Florida, which way do you drive on 75? You drive south, which is where we all want to go today. You see, the end of where you think you're going or where you want to get determines the direction of action for getting there. Now, if you begin to unpack this and think about the different kinds of Christians there are and what they believe about heaven, it starts to tell you, explain why they live the way they live. Over here, if you have Christians who believe that heaven is an escape from this earth, then it means that this earth doesn't really matter, our bodies don't really matter, and our job here on earth is to get as many people into the lifeboat as possible so that we can all escape from this hell that is earth into heaven. Forget about, like, it doesn't really matter how you take care of your body. It doesn't really matter about all of the reigning and governing and educating of our children and how we, you know, raise food and all that. All that stuff doesn't really matter because it's all going to pass away. And we're going to fly away to God's celestial shore. But if you think that heaven is a place that is coming here on earth, and that battle runs through each one of our hearts, then you will act as though the earth matters and your body matters and issues of poverty matter and justice and educating our children and all of the things that go into making us human. And we'll work to make those things just and right and heavenly rather than to ignore them and just focus on saving the souls for heaven. Are you following me? We are co-redeemers. We're co-redeemers. We'll do this because these things aren't going to disappear in heaven. But heaven is going to be redeemed here among us. We don't escape them. We redeem them. And so come, Jesus. Come for the new heaven and the new earth. Now, I destroyed that song for you, Fly Away. Like, now you're like, well, are we never going to sing that again? I don't know whether we will or not, but there's not a lot of songs. Like, when you look for songs about heaven, there's not a lot of songs that don't have that, at least that the Christian church sings, that don't have that imagery of escaping. But as I was studying this and looking, there is a modern song about heaven by a band named Switchfoot that's appropriately titled Afterlife. And the song talks about the afterlife not being after we die, but being now. And so in a moment, we're going to come and receive communion. And I want you to, this is a pretty heavy song, okay? So prepare yourselves. It's a heavy metal song. But use it as a time, okay, to prepare your hearts, because we're Sycamore Creek and we do things differently, okay, creatively. To prepare your heart for coming to communion, to tasting heaven now. Here it is. Listen and watch.
Tasted fire, I'm ready to come alive.
you're wondering, so what happens when we die? Well, that's next week. You have to come back to hear that message next week. Hopefully there won't be a ton of snow. I'm going to need two helpers to help serve communion, and if you would like to do that, step to the back, and the ushers will help you get ready. As we come to the communion table, we enter into that story of creation and humanity's purpose. We enter the story of the fall, and every day we fall. And we enter the story of redemption. Every day, Christ is redeeming us, making us a little less hellish and a little more heavenly. And when we fall again back into the hellish part, God's grace is good and meets us there and helps us back up. When we come to the table, I think what we're doing is we're getting a little foretaste of the what one day will not be already and not yet. It'll just be here, heaven here. And God showed us that all kinds of ways in creation and having a unique relationship, covenant with the ancient nation of Israel, through the prophets and the Bible, through writing it down in the scriptures, and then ultimately coming and dwelling among us, making his place among us in the person of Jesus, saying this earth matters. These bodies matter. And the night before Jesus gave himself up for us, before he went to his execution, he gathered his closest friends in a room, and he took the bread that was at the table, and he gave thanks to you, God, and he gave it to his friends, and he said, take and eat. This is my body. When supper was over, he took a cup, and he gave thanks to you, God. He gave it to his friends, and he said, drink from this, all of you. It's heaven here in my forgiveness, my blood poured out for you and shed for many, for the forgiveness, for healing, for freedom. As often as you drink it, remember me. And so, God, in remembrance of what your Son has done, send your Spirit on us here gathered and make this be heaven, or a foretaste of it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all who agreed said, amen. I want to invite those who are going to help serve communion to come forward. If you are a guest here today, you may be wondering, can I receive communion if I'm not a member of the church? And the answer is, if you find in your heart a desire to be at peace with God and a desire to be at peace with others, then come forward and receive communion. When you come forward, you'll step toward to Bob here, and he's got the crackers. Say your name to Bob so Bob can say, this is the body of Christ given for you. And then step to Kathy. She's holding the cup. You'll dip the crackers in the cup, and Kathy will say, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. And then you'll eat it. Friends, the table has been set. Heaven is here waiting. Come as you're ready.